Good morning and welcome. You see, we have a completely different order of service. I'll be walking us through this. We've been mentioning it through our different media of communication for a number of weeks. So we're going to try it, and hopefully it'll work. We'll see. But I'll explain a little bit more to it as we go through the service. Notice that we have the Psalter. That's reading from the Psalms responsively. The first line we will practice, and then we'll do it again to make sure all of us are on the same page and then go into the Psalter. So let us continue our worship with the invocation. Shall we pray? Father God, bless us as we attempt to worship you in this hour, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. Will you stand? Psalter is found on page 846. It'll also be on the screen. You see, we have a response before we start the Psalter. We'll practice that in a moment. And as we practiced last week, if you will cut off my last syllable with your response, I will cut off yours as you respond. Now, the purpose of this, one, is to keep it from dragging, because this is during the praise service in our worship. and praise part of the service. So we want it to move. We don't want to praise God and then feel like we're at Florida last night after the game's over. So what we want to do is very upbeat, and let's get on with it by moving the Psalter right along. Would you play through? That's what we'll sing. Are you ready? When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. One more time. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. All right, here we go with the Psalter. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us.
Then the raging waters would have gone over us.
Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth.
We have escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler.
The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, with thankful hearts, we do indeed come before you. We come before you adoring your most holy name, enjoying all the benefits of your grace, and thankful that you are faithful to us and constant with us in your presence. Even as we acknowledge this, even as we have praised your name, we are quick to confess, O Lord, that we are not worthy. We have not done what we have needed to do to witness to your faith, to your blessings, to your honor and your glory. We have sinned. We have fallen short of that glory. We are ashamed of ourselves. And we know the many areas in which we fall short, and we name them to you silently. Set us right before you, and please hear our prayers of intercession. Lord, there is much sickness. Many people recently have been afflicted by various issues that impair and compromise their health. Please bless them and help them through this crisis. There are those who have long-term illnesses and are frustrated because they can neither get around as they used to or find a way to accomplish what they would like to do. They are confined to the four walls of where they are, whether it be in a hospital room or a sick room at home. Often, O Lord, we forget them because they're out of sight. But in our prayers this day, we beseech you to touch them with your peace and help us find ways to reach out to them and let them know we're remembering them, to pray with them and to help lift their spirits to your throne of grace. Lord, we give you thanks for the visit of the Pope. We are grateful for his humility. We are thankful for his insight. We thank you also for his willingness simply to call a spade, and to call it as he sees it. How refreshing, O Lord, it is to see such a public figure speak the truth in love. Our ears yearn to hear the truth in love. So thank you for him, for his blessed ministry here in this country and throughout the world. And bless us all as we realize that he indeed is the vicar of Christ for the Roman Catholics, and for us, he is a spokesperson from a sister church, that we speak the same language in Christ and use the same Bible. Thank you, O Lord, for letting us be people of the faith with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, there is much strife throughout the world, and our world communities are compromised by the threat of violence, famine, migration, accepting migrants into countries. Help us sort all of this out in love. We beseech you, O God, hear these our prayers, and let us accept from you the absolution from our sins. We are grateful that you have pardoned us, even as we confess these sins, that you hear our intercessions and also our praise. Now let us enjoy our salvation to the fullest as we continue worshiping you in spirit and in truth. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
We now move to that part of the worship as a time for listening for God's word. We'll start with the children's sermon. Would the children come forward at this time? Got one. Here comes another one. Please have a seat. She's from out of town. And we were talking about the Civil War, and she lives close to Parker's Crossroads, which is a Civil War battlefield in West Tennessee, isn't it? And you've been there. How are you? Do you know what a push-up is? Would you do one for us? Is that all you can do? I see you do five. Can you do five? Two? One more? That's good. That's wonderful. Now, what I asked him to do was an exercise that most of us who play sports of any kind, we know what a push-up is. We know what sit-ups are. We know what pull-ups are. We know what squats are. We know what curls are. Does any of that ring a bell? Oh, yes. Now, if we don't do push-ups, and if we don't do squats and curls and all that other stuff, can we play sports very well? What about weightlifting? You ever weightlift weights? Kind of. You know what a barbell is? Oh, you will if you play sports. These are bars that have lots of weight on either side. You know, don't you? Why, sure, you know. And you lift like that. But you can also sit down and you can put your legs up here, your feet. And you can push. Those are called leg presses. Yes. All that is to do what? Why do you do that to yourself? What happens to you when you do that? You get stronger. You're right. Good job. Now, did you know, boys and girls, that in order to worship God, you have to lift weights? No, not exactly. But you do have to practice getting stronger. And you know how you practice getting stronger? You pray. You are quiet. You find a time to be real quiet and listen for God. We live in a culture where you've got to have noise and lots of it. Have you ever been frustrated when there's nothing to do and nothing on television? Nothing at all. It just really is a time of panic because you don't have any noise. You've been there, done that? Have you? Did you know this is a wonderful time to talk to God? And what we are to do if we want to be really strong and be able to lift barbells or push-ups or sit-ups with God, we have got to practice. That's right. If you're going to be an athlete, you have to practice. So what you do every day is pray. Read the scriptures and be quiet. In this way, God knows, says, well, these folks really do want to hear what I have to say. They really are separating themselves from the noise of the world. So I'll talk even more clearly, and I will tell them what I want them to do. Can you do that? Remember now, when you're at physical education classes and you have to do push-ups, squats, lifts, curls, leg presses, all of that, you have to do that with God too. And make time for Him so you can be a good, good athlete for Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for the discipline of an athlete. For we love athletics and games and contests. We love skill. Help us remember that we must practice the same sorts of things in following Jesus and listening to you and being a good Christian person. Amen. And thank you all for coming forward. Our scripture lesson today is found in the book of the prophet, not a prophet, but the words of Moses, in Exodus, actually, 13, verses 3 through 10. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Moses said to the people, "Remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, because the Lord brought you out from there by strength of hand. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today is the month of Abib. You're going out. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your ancestors to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this observance in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a festival to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen in your possession, and no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory. You shall tell your child on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. It shall serve for you as a sign on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead, so that the teaching of the Lord may be in your lips, on your lips. For with a strong hand, the Lord brought you out of Egypt. You shall keep this ordinance at its proper time from year to year.'" Amen. And here ends this word from the scriptures.
While I rest and with my voices
Let us pray together, shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we are beginning an experiment in worship that hopefully will prove meaningful and helpful for all of us. You see, the world demands much from all of us. The world demands time, and it has its needs, gives us desires, forces upon us, and some we willingly accept, responsibilities. And the economy of the world is pushed around by money and time and effort, and certainly by love. The church is known as the body of Christ. And Jesus says it is in the world, but not of the world. That's right, we are in the world. The world affects us. But there's something holy and spiritually divine about the church, about our gathering today. So we're in the world, but not of it. Now, the passage of scripture you heard was part of the organization for the Passover. You heard about the unleavened bread. You heard about, tell your sons that this is what it was like when we were delivered from the house of bondage, from Egypt. And do this every year, remembering what happened to you. Remember this day on when you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now, we just heard a part of the instructions for Passover. For us, today is Sunday. It is also called the Lord's Day. And it is a time when we remember, as followers of Jesus, we remember how we were brought out of the deadly relationship with the world, in the world, but not of it. We remember each first day of the week about Easter. So we don't worship on a Saturday, we worship on a Sunday, the first day of the week, because every Sunday essentially is a little Easter. So that fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but a seventh day is Sabbath to the Lord. Christian people X that out. We say Sunday is more important than the fourth commandment. Because Jesus gave us a new covenant. It goes beyond the law of Moses. And we hear this as a commandment from Jesus in John's gospel. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And here's the real stinger as far as what Jesus is saying. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And we can go in a time of self-reflection here. When have I shown love for the other? And by the same token, when did I not show love for someone else? Our Lord's commandment is far more stringent than the Ten Commandments. So the first day of the week, Sunday, we remember how God loves us by raising Jesus from the dead. We worship the Lord for what God did with and for Jesus and therefore us when we have faith in Jesus and follow Jesus. So here we are at church. We have a certain order of worship, which I've arbitrarily changed as an experiment. I want to see if it's helpful for you. If not, we'll go back and do the other one. I simply want to share with you what else is in our Christian tradition. Now, this particular order of service lets us shift from our workaday world, our responsibilities in the world, and it lets us come in here, in this very beautiful appointed space, in this large room with a tall ceiling with those chandeliers like that. And that fantastic, look at that, beautiful stained glass window. And the cross and the flowers and the candles. All of that is different. Now, I'm a member of the Rotary Club, and we have different projects. We have different missions. Other clubs, civic organizations, they do as well. So it's not that the church is the only person that does missions in the world. That isn't so. Many people have mission opportunities. But it is in a church as the only institution where you come apart from the world and worship. And these are our accoutrements. This is how and what we do when we come here. We leave the world with that big heavy door out front or the other doors you may have come in. And we come in here and we say, I am also a part of the Lord's kingdom. But liturgy comes in. This order of service is liturgy. It comes into play as a helpful presentation for how we get away from the world and all of its stimuli. And it follows the pattern about which I spoke last week with Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. You can find a similar order of service in the Revelation of John. So what you have both in the Judeo and the Christian tradition is an order of service to pull us out of the different stimuli of the world. Now, this means it's going to take work. It will take work. Just as the young people a while ago showed us a bit what push-ups are like, we know there are many other regimen that we have to follow in work and to have a workout. Liturgy is the workout of us who come to worship. Now, liturgy is very important because it's calling for discipline. So I want us to look not only at the order of service, but how we approach worship. We are in a grand tradition of welcoming people, of enjoying people, of talking to people, of saying, hi, I haven't seen you since last week, how's your week gone, etc. There is a very important place for that. All I have done with the service, and all I'd like for us to try, is to flip that order. And instead of coming and greeting first, to greet at the end. The first thing we do when we come here is get ourselves ready to worship God. That's very important because we've got a lot of interference in our minds and our hearts. How many of us are thinking about everything from a ball game to what we're going to do this afternoon, to whether we're hungry or too full, or whether our car is broken, or whether a friend is hurt or injured? How many of us are thinking about all of these different things when we come to worship? I know I do. Do you? Of course you do. But in the work of worship, we have to come. We need to come. We want to come and clear our minds. This is why. When we come into this area to start with, we need to be quiet. The passage of Scripture, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. That's very appropriate. Now I know, and I did it too. We went to see people. We had to check on things. And the problem with that is somebody may want to pray. And if there's conversation going on, it interrupts the prayer. It interrupts our attempts to worship God. So instead of coming as a social time to start with, we're going to have a social time. But to start with, let's come in and be quiet. That's going to take work. We're not used to that. I'm not used to it either. But it is a formula for us to get ready to worship. There are all kinds of things to remember when you come in and when I come in and we are silent. Pick up the Bible in the pew and read the scripture. That's the text. Read it over. Get it in your mind. Pray for all of us who'll be leading you in worship. Pray for the preacher, for heaven's sakes. That's very important. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. Because what we preachers do is of such critical importance that we're often judged the harshest because of our responsibility. This is why the tradition, when we have the Lord's Supper, the preacher is supposed to receive the sacrament first. What? Let him get it last. He's supposed to host. No, he can't administer the sacrament unless he's been forgiven, and should not even try unless he receives first the elements of grace, the bread and the wine or grape juice. See the point? This is the church tradition. There are many, many more. But the first thing we need to be remembering is when we come here, let's leave the visiting out in the hallway. But when we come here, everyone is quiet. Everyone's in prayer. Now, I know it's not going to happen overnight, but let's work at it. That is part of the work of the people. And we are to worship in spirit and in truth. That is how we are to worship. So then, the main thing we need to remember today is the movement of worship, the adoration and praise. We can see that with the beautiful things around us. Look at them. Think about them. And if we preachers have a bad sermon sometime, look at the window and receive edification from the window. And above all, pray for that poor preacher that's got a lousy message. Pray for him right then, because maybe somebody can get something out of his efforts or her efforts, even though it may not be you at the time. You see how that is filled with love rather than judgment. We have quite a task in front of us because we are to live by the grace of God. We come from a world that's filled with judgment, and we bring the world with us, but we are to filter that out for this hour. And we are to open our minds and our hearts to receive the grace of God. It's very similar to what Jesus did with Lazarus in John 11. If you'll remember, Lazarus was his good friend, and he was the brother of Mary and Martha, and he had died. He had died and was in the grave for 4 days, which for the Jew meant he was good and dead. Their understanding was that for 3 days, the spirit of the deceased hovered around the corpse to see if there's a possibility that that spirit can go back into the corpse. To say Lazarus had been dead 4 days, yep, he really is dead. So Jesus finally comes, and he goes to the tomb site, and he says, "Take away the stone." And you know what else he says? He says, "Lazarus, come forth." And he raised Lazarus from the dead. And you see Lazarus walking from the tomb into the sunlight with all of those grave wraps around him. And Jesus then says to the townspeople, "Untie him, unwrap him, and let him go free." That's how we do. We come from the world that's literally got us tied in knots. We come here, we're quiet, we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. And then God, he unties our spirit. But we are to untie each other and let us go free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We enter our final phase of worship, and this is our response to God's word and a response to challenge. Usually the offering comes up in the middle. This is a Methodist tradition. There are reasons for that. But when we follow Isaiah and his pattern of worship, he hears God's call. Who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. We've just heard God's call. He's called us to worship. He's called us to work the liturgy of the hour. He's called us to clear our minds and receive the word. Now, in response, we have a chance, first of all, to give of our tithes and offerings. And then secondly, we will have a time of fellowship, a time of greeting, as we usually have done at the front end of the service. At that time, our lay leader will take over and do what he used to do at the top of the hour. So let's worship God with our tithes and our offerings. Let the ushers come forward. Let us pray together. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, bless us as we respond to your word by giving back to you your tithes and our offerings. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Tommy?
Good morning. Just a couple of things I want to call your attention to in the bulletin. We've been doing for the last month or so, there's Holiday Bazaar workshop each Saturday at 9 a.m. here in the Fellowship Hall.
Right.
Yeah. And Sisters of Service meets on the first Tuesday of each month, 5:30, in Pears and Spares. Mark your calendar. Remember that on October the 18th, we're going to have a church-wide luncheon followed by a presentation of the instrumental concert at 1:30 in the afternoon. More information forthcoming. Stay tuned, in other words. And Wednesday evening Bible study has resumed from September the 9th, 6:45 each Wednesday. We're still collecting items and funds for the Operation Christmas shoeboxes. Goal is to make 100 this year. I don't know how far along we are. Terry can tell us, I guess, next week. Anybody else got anything?
Monday, they're going to take pictures on the stage. So please have everything in there by next Sunday.
I hope you heard that. If you're making things for the bazaar, we have to have everything here by next Sunday for pictures. Anybody else? How about guests or visitors to recognize? Everybody right at home? Now's the time for fellowship. Get up and say hello to your friends.
We'll be inviting persons to come, those who wish to join in the fellowship of the church. If you come as we sing this song, we will certainly welcome you. We will stand as we sing, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." Today, we have a very lovely couple who are transferring their membership to Rockwood United Methodist Church. We've seen them. They've been here off and on quite frequently. Christy Nicole Lowry She is coming by transfer from Big Emory Baptist Church. And Donald Henry Cannon, is that your name? I thought it was Turkey. That's what he goes by. That's what we know him by. Donald Henry Cannon out of Newport Richey First Baptist Church in Florida. So we're delighted you're transferring in. But since you're coming across denominational lines, we do have a Methodist question that we ask all transfers. Please remember, we recognize and accept the validity of your baptism, your Christian nurture, Christian education, confirmation classes, and all of that. But the Methodist question is, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? We welcome you into the membership of Rockwood United Methodist Church. Our lay leader stands with them. I think he also works with them, don't you? Absolutely. So we appreciate your evangelism attempts with this lovely couple. Now, I asked them if they wanted me to announce their marriage, but that's yet to come, right, Turkey?
That's right.
It'll be soon, though, won't it?
Yes.
It will be soon. Now, I've gotten a lot of brownie points, you see, for doing that, right? Receive the blessing. People of God, go forth. Go back into the world with all of its pulls, compromises, all the things that cause us to have headaches. Thank you for bringing us together in this hour of worship. And bring us back together next week, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name. I'd like for the church to just form a line around that wall right there and come in and welcome this lovely couple. You may